Good morning. Good morning. All right. Good morning. All right, here's what we're going to do this morning. Would everyone at least slide to this general direction? That would be wonderful. No, I'm actually not kidding. If everyone slide down a little bit. Come on, there we go. It's okay, just slide down a little bit. There we go. We'll all be able to see the junior choir better. It's all right. Just a little bit. There. Good morning. You all are the brave, adventurous souls who were able to get through and out of your driveways, so I figured you would be able to handle shifting in your pew just a bit. I am so glad, again, that you are here, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church on this Fusion Sunday. Wonderful opportunity for us to worship together, and a reminder that this morning our children will be present throughout worship, and we are so glad they are, so make sure if you're a parent or a caregiver or just happen to be sitting next to one of our younger worshipers to fully include them in worship by holding hymnals at their level and passing the offering plate so that they can share it as well. This morning we will also be practicing prayer and the abundance of enough through prayer stations located around the sanctuary just outside the doors. And so we will be doing that following the sermon this morning. A few announcements. First, a very special thank you. Thank you from myself, from the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, and also Jan Buettner and Linda Beattie, who organized you all and these great volunteers in providing hospitality to the Presbytery for our meeting yesterday here. Such a great, wonderful event, and I am so glad so many volunteers came for that. So again, thank you. All right, we have a few other announcements this morning. We'll have you all go.
Good morning. I have the bestest announcement. I'd like to introduce our new child care provider. This is Ann Tonnery-DeMars. She joins us starting today to corral the little people in the toddler room and nursery. Ann and her husband and son live in Greece. She's a student at MCC Damon and is familiar with Mr. Stewart and Sherry now, and there's lots of connections, and we're thrilled to have her. Thank you so much to everyone who's volunteered to cover in there while we were between providers. Have a good day. Thanks.
Good morning. With less than 2 weeks left before the retreat, I'd like to invite you to either sign up on the kiosk, or today we have someone, Jim Poole, is going to be collecting registration and money. It's $20 a person, and it's an opportunity to get away, have some fun, explore the theme of what peace means to you personally. It's located at the Notre Dame Retreat House, perched above scenic Canandaigua Lake, and it runs from 8:45 to 4. Lunch is provided by their chef from the Hyde Park Culinary Institute. $20 a person. Carpooling is available, and we hope to see you there.
And Junior has. Today's the deadline to sign up for the zoo overnight. So if you forgot your form, there's some in my office. Thanks.
And the final announcement this morning is if you are looking for a wonderfully warm place to be at 3 o'clock, the Holy Spirit will be moving in this place as the Acoma Women's Gospel Choir is performing here at 3 o'clock. So don't miss this wonderful concert opportunity. We'll see you there. Now let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. Thank you.
Please stand if you are able for the call to worship. God, who created and is creating still, who is blessing in abundance, Jesus, who came to share our humanness, who is new life in abundance, whose breath brings life to the dust of the earth, who is courage in abundance.
When we come to God confessing our sins, we can be assured that God's grace is abundant and is enough. Let us join me in the prayer of confession. Triune God of abundance, we confess we don't take the time to learn you are enough. We cling to our fears that we won't have enough or be enough. Assure us once again of your presence with us. Amen. Oh God, we ask that you hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen.
This morning we're going to have the children come, and why don't you go back and sit with your parents? You're okay. You're all right. Our time for children is going to happen during the prayer stations because Cam, who's been doing such a great job sharing the message with us, you know what? She got snowed in. So, good morning. Amen. Fabulous job. So that'll give the adult choir 2 seconds to get ready as well.
The first reading of the word is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. Observe the Sabbath day and keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male or female slave, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your livestock, or the resident alien in your towns, so that your male and female slave may rest as well as you. Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day.
And the second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit who had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight, began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from the bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said all this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things he was doing. As you can see from the insert in your bulletin about the prayer stations and all of them that are set up around the sanctuary, in a few moments we will be prayerfully practicing our Lenten theme, the abundance of enough. I do wish the weather would also practice this theme, but maybe next month. But remember with me 3 weeks ago, when we began in the season of Lent, wondering with Jesus what it means to live in the wilderness of abundant choices before us each and every day. And the following Sunday, we journeyed with Abram and Sarai in the book of Genesis, and we asked whether or not it is time to say enough to all the stuff we consume. And last Sunday, Carol Ann invited us to sit with Jesus and the woman at the well. We connected our experiences of when God interrupts our efficiency with opportunities to live in the abundance of God's time. And this morning, our scripture passages build on each of those Sundays. And they also take us to the next step, challenging us to engage in biblically based and visible practice of choosing to pay attention to God's interruptions. They insist our lives are not defined by all the stuff and the busyness. Those passages were all about Sabbath. Yes, one of the Ten Commandments. Though I must confess, my children don't even recognize that word, let alone know what it means. It might sound a bit unconscionable that preachers' kids don't know one of the Ten Commandments, but I'm going to guess, preachers' kids or not, mine are not alone. You see, I grew up in a generation with two working parents, and weekends were for getting stuff done. Stuff around the house and the yard, homework, grocery shopping, and all the other errands, right? Weekends are for soccer tournaments and baseball tournaments, swim meets, and play productions. And I grew up in a family where there was plenty of church, too. We worshiped regularly on Sunday mornings, and then there was choir practice and youth group in the afternoons. And so I figured that going to church on Sunday covered whatever Sabbath was even supposed to be about. Because the only other association I had with that word was connected to these stories that my grandparents told me. Stories about all the stores being closed
on Sundays. These big, elaborate family dinners with the fancy lace tablecloth and the good china and silver. I know you're not supposed to put it in the dishwasher. And I also hear about stories about not being able to play cards or knit or play any kind of games. Now, some of the Sabbath stories sound wonderful, and others make it sound pretty boring. We've been reading Little House on the Prairie in my house, and Laura Ingalls Wilder describes Sabbath being a day of not being able to play at all, just sitting around and reading scripture. Now, I'm all for the Bible, but all day? Our country, our nation, can thank the stringent disciplinary faith of the Puritans for the largely misunderstood list of what we should not do on the Sabbath. And yet, hearing Jesus' words from the Gospel of Luke, it does seem the concept predates the Puritans. Jesus got pretty fired up about the indignant leaders of the synagogue for being all nitty-gritty about the application of the rules and not the meaning of what Sabbath was supposed to be about. So apparently all these life-denying interpretations of Sabbath practices go back for centuries. Now, the commandment that Nadia read for us this morning, the commandment that God gave to Moses for God's people, is to rest and not to work. It's a time set aside, a time to be made holy. The commandment and the laws following are given to the Israelites after their exodus from Egypt. You remember Egypt, right? Where the Israelites, well, if you haven't heard, I heard a no. If you don't remember, it was when the Israelites were slaves, and they worked whenever the masters commanded them, never getting a day off. The message was to work harder, work longer, build more. Is it starting to sound familiar? And so when they received a commandment to rest, to actually set aside a whole day of the week to rest their bodies and their animals, to take time for renewal and prayer, trust me, they heard this as good news. Now, we aren't slaves, certainly not in the same way the Israelite people were. There are still some people who are today, and we know that a lot of us still work really long hours, and sometimes more than one job to be able to make ends meet. Many of us have to work harder and harder to disconnect from work, even if we're not there. All the emails and the texts, it's right here, right? Always. 24/7 work that never stops. Presbyterian pastor Mary Ann McKibben Dana recently published a book called Sabbath in the Suburbs, a family's experiment with holy time. And the book talks all about this young family's year-long efforts to practice a Sabbath day, a whole day, once a week. The impulse toward this rhythm came out of a growing awareness, as Marianne describes, the arms race of activities and sports, enrichment and homework. And her sense of unease at all of this was confirmed when a friend said to her that it had been 4 months since her family had a day without anything on the calendar. Lessons, sports practices, hours and hours of homework and tutoring, all with the promises that the work that we put in now will pay off in the end. We'll get into a great college and one day land that dream job. all this work so our kids can know more, do more, buy more, be more. And Sabbath is the practice of the abundance of enough. In the face of an anxiety-driven culture constantly reinforcing what we do and who we are is never enough, the practice of Sabbath defiantly offers this alternative to help us grow in our awareness and practice our faith to proclaim God is enough. And so in this world where the word Sabbath isn't even recognizable, where do we begin? Does it have to happen on Sundays? Does it have to be a whole day? Perhaps we begin by doing what we're doing this morning. We read the stories of Sabbath in the Bible, and we wonder together with our spouse, with our family, with our grandchildren, with each other, what would it look like if we took a day? What about even just an hour or two, an afternoon, and we set it apart from the rest of our life so we could rest in God's presence? I invite you to have those conversations. Have those conversations together as you're moving around to the prayer stations. Some of the prayer stations will encourage you to ask that question in different ways. You know, I don't normally like parking lot conversations, and on a snow-filled day like this, you might want to find a nice warm diner to go have breakfast instead. But keep the conversation going. What would it like? What would it look like for me personally, for us as a family, for us as a church, to practice the abundance of enough? So at this time, I invite you to each of the prayer stations. You may choose one, you may choose many. This morning we will not be keeping them up after worship. So make sure if there is one you want to visit, you do that during this time of worship. We'll take about 10 minutes or so to practice the prayer stations. You know that we'll be coming back when we begin to sing Remember Me a few times, and that'll mark the end of our time practicing. So get up and let us pray together.
Continued prayers for my brother Tom in North Carolina. He's receiving hospice care, and he says they're doing a good job of making him comfortable, but there's no long-term cure for his leukemia.
Prayers for Whit's brother.
Thank you for the prayers for our grandson. We have now a diagnosis of what he's had, what he has, and it will be under management. He has asked us, though, he doesn't want to be defined by his diagnosis. He just wants to be Brian Derry. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your prayers.
And they continue.
See if I can get through this.
Keep the microphone close so we can hear you.
Now then you'll hear me cry. Jim Poole. My mother was admitted to a nursing home this week. It's been kind of tough on all of us. But appreciate prayers for the family. I've been in nursing homes before, but this time it really opened my eyes up. And I think that we have to kind of open our hearts to all the people that are in there. We may not know them. They may be. Maybe there's nobody coming to visit them either. So it's kind of a sad thing, but it's the only thing we could do. So just keep them all in your prayers. Thank you.
Ed Coons. Kathy and I had asked prayers for Kathy's niece's husband, Randy. He's got stage 4 brain cancer and brain tumor. Randy and his family are going through some really tough decisions. They are facing treatment decisions, literally life and death decisions at this point. So they need all the prayers that we can send their way. And the rest of the family is kind of struggling with watching this unfold. So thank you.
Continued prayers. And a reminder to our young worshipers who are with us, we share your prayers that you write in Sunday school every week. So if there's a prayer that you would like to share, you are welcome. Oh, see, look at you guys are great. Welcome to do so.
I have a prayer for my aunt. She's going to have a baby soon.
So prayers of joy for your aunt. Congratulations.
I have prayers for my math teacher who just had the baby.
I have prayers for a math teacher. Thank you. What else?
I have prayers for my dog who died a while ago. We couldn't keep her up. She was peeing all over the house and we couldn't keep her.
Aww. Prayers for your family and their loss, too. Abundantly generous God, you call us to be your children, and yet somehow being a child of the Creator of the universe is just not enough for us. We complain, we want more. Help us, O God, to release our ever-expanding definition of enough. Help us to embrace the gifts you give us as fully and completely all that we need. This morning we give you thanks for the diversity of generations and for the opportunity to worship together. Smiles of the children and the wisdoms of the elders help us understand the sacred wonder of Christian community. And we pray for our presbytery. Indeed, it was a privilege to welcome our brothers and sisters into our faith home, to greet them with your love, to celebrate the ministry of J. Rivers Delson and Rosemary Mitchell. pray for the work of the Presbytery Office of Public Witness and for the staff of that office. We ask that you show us ways to be your voice for justice in our civic systems. Oh God, as we listen to the news reports, our heart breaks for the families of recent tragedies, for those on Flight 370, and for those in the mudslides in Washington, for those fearing their future in Ukraine. We come praying for all those going through difficult times. Help us to give comfort in their pain, community in their isolation, courage in their healing. Hear us now, O God, as together we pray the prayer you taught to your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our debts as we forgive our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us bring our gifts forward.
Gracious God, who created us in your image, we are grateful for all that you have done for us, for all that you are doing in us, and for all that you will do through us. We give thanks for all the abundance of blessings in our lives. Grant us the power and the courage to serve you by serving others. Amen. Thank you.
friends, may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit surround each of us in all that we say, all that we do, and all that we don't do. Amen.
Thank you.